shrinking backup windows are one of the many challenges that storage managers face every day, along with putting together robust disaster recovery and business continuity plans, and dealing with storage-related regulatory compliance. All of these have, in common, the need for a comprehensive, reliable backup. Let's call it a data protection strategy. I'm James Hilliard, and on today's episode of Connection Point, we'll be talking to Mike Phelan, the Senior Product Manager at Dot Hill Systems. Mike has a combined 20 years of data protection experience in the Air Force and in the civilian sector. He is here to guide us through technology choices that will help you create a data protection strategy that maximizes application availability and does not increase the workload for your IT department. And Mike, appreciate you joining me again today.
James, it's my pleasure. Glad to talk to you again.
Now, Mike, I know you get an opportunity to talk to a lot of organizations, talk to individuals out there. So I want to hear from you. What are they saying? What are they facing today when it comes to backing up and protecting their data, the big challenges they have?
You know, James, the big challenge out there is the fact that the traditional methods that we've been using for a number of years in the backup environment just don't work anymore. As an example, we've got customers. I was talking to a guy a couple weeks ago, and they had some sort of a data corruption or data problem, and it took them well over 8 hours just to restore their data from tape backups. Now, luckily, they had everything there, and they were able to do it, but it was an eight-hour process during which the business was down.
And that is unacceptable these days, and you can't handle those types of, most organizations can't handle those types of downtime or just waiting that amount of time to get to things. You mentioned tape there. I think a lot of us has been hearing, and that's been one of the big traditional approaches. Why isn't tape, and some of the other things that are out there as well, why aren't those practical anymore for folks?
It's really the pace of business, James. So like I said, in that example, it was an eight-hour process for them to restore their data. And when you look at the pace of business today and where we're at, it really doesn't matter what business you're in. If you have a website and it goes down, being down for a number of hours is just unacceptable. I don't know about you, but myself, if I go to a website and it's down, I go somewhere else.
Absolutely.
If I go to Google and look and it's down, I don't normally go back. So you get really one opportunity, and that's where we're at today. The internet, this has really changed the face of how things happen. And those traditional backup methods, they're hurting us.
And I know there are two kind of things that we need to consider when planning our backup and what we can basically absorb in terms of any downtime. Those are things like recovery point objective, recovery time objective. And I think what you're saying here is those have been shrinking. We used to have years ago, okay, you could have a four-hour downtime, an eight-hour downtime. Yeah, it would impact your business, but it wasn't critical. It wasn't really going to hamper you too much. These days, if it's anything more than, seconds, minutes, that could really hurt a company.
It sure can. And you hit on the two key things there, the recovery point objective, which is, well, how much data can I afford to lose? And if in a backup environment, that means I can lose to back to the point of my last full backup or incremental backup when I can recover my environment. And the recovery time is how long do I want to be down? How long can I afford to be down? And those two have shrunk because of the amount of data and how fast that data is exchanged given the internet these days.
I know the recovery point objective is also, that has shrunk too because regulatory issues of having to keep so much of the data now.
Great point. Exactly. Yeah, we've got several clients where that recovery point is critical. And often, I was talking to a client a couple days ago, and they were saying that their legal department was really starting to get involved in the IT organization. And they were looking for some more data from us to how they could better meet some of those legal concerns that they had. And that was a big concern.
All right, so tape and some of those other traditional approaches, not practical. So what is practical now? What are some of the technological breakthroughs that folks should be now considering for their backup and recovery?
So some of the big things that are out there, the biggest one is probably snapshots. And a snapshot is truly just a snapshot. If you think of it like when I take a snapshot from my camera, it's a point in time. I capture the data at a specific point in time. And what's nice about a snapshot is it's instantaneous and when it's taken, and it's relatively quick to recover that. So I can recover my data to a point in time with a snapshot, and I can do that within minutes. And the nice part about it is it doesn't matter how much data is there. I could recover that same amount of data, whether it's a couple of gig or if it's multiple terabytes. it's the same amount of time to recover that snapshot, as opposed to waiting, in my initial example, with a customer that took 8 hours, I could do that same recovery operation in less than 5 minutes.
Mike, I've talked to some folks about tape in the past. Some are in the camp of, hey, tape is dead. Others saying traditional tape, even virtual tape, still has a place in organizations. It's not that we're going to completely get rid of it, but let me ask you the question. Do you think things like virtual tape, traditional tape, are they dead now? Are they dead in 4 years? What do you see as a time frame?
You know, they're on their way out. I don't know if they'll ever die. IT people, and I'm an IT person myself, we tend to be relatively, we like to keep control of things. And so that is that really lends itself to that tape never truly dying. But what will help move that in that direction is just, like I said before, the speed of business. Because you're not going to hold on to your job if your answer to the boss is, it's going to take me 8 hours. That is not acceptable. So though you may still have tape somewhere in the environment for some applications, I see the industry moving more and more towards the technology of snapshots and those types that give me that instantaneous recovery points and give me instantaneous backup points. Those are critical, and it's going to take a long time because that the IT personalities are driving that sort of behavior.
My understanding with snapshots, again, these can happen very instantaneously. You can do them throughout the day. So it's not like you're waiting for a big backup window overnight or on the weekend, as we're used to with tape. And basically eliminates that need for kind of backup windows, is my understanding of snapshots. Is that correct?
Yes. We've got multiple clients who have moved away from tape entirely, or they've gone to a changing their tape environment from daily to weekly to now monthly. And they said, because of the snapshot technology, and I can take it instantaneously, and it does all the protection that a backup would do, that's where they're moving towards. The other big advantage to a snapshot is the fact that they typically will only capture the data that has changed from the last snapshot. So I'm also not consuming large amounts of space on my storage systems.
All right, that makes sense there. Let's, Mike Phelan here again with me on Connection Point from Dot Hill Systems. And let me, Mike, ask you at this point, one other technology out there that more folks are hearing about, thinking about, considering is replication. How does that fit into snapshots? Is it kind of build upon snapshots and is it kind of that next level for folks?
Great question, it is. A replication does build on snapshots, and it is that next level. And what replication does, if you will, it more or less takes that snapshot, that protection you have in a local environment, and gives you the capability to take it and transport it, typically over an Ethernet connection, to another device, hopefully located somewhere else. It could be a DR facility. It could be someone's basement, but it's somewhere that you can take that data and move it off-site. The other nice part about it is the fact that we talked about regulatory compliance in the legal departments. That is becoming more of an issue in the fact that so often those records have to be kept somewhere off-site. I mean, those are actual regulations that are written and specified that many businesses today are being held accountable to. And this gives the IT organizations a very easy methodology to say, hey, I can take my information, not only have a local protection copy for things like if I need to grab somebody's file or viruses or whatever, I can also take and say, I'm going to transport that data to a remote site for more protection. Today, those methodologies may be done by taking my tapes and shipping my tapes off-site. And then I've got the headaches of trying to keep track of the tapes and knowing where they're stored and how long I'm storing them and rotating them, where when you do it inside a storage system, you can schedule that and it all happens automatically, electronically for you, and you can just monitor those replication instances as opposed to having to try to manage an entire tape infrastructure.
to quickly piggyback on that, I've been talking to a legal firm, and they had had a major flood issue, which damaged a lot of the material that they had. They didn't have it replicated off-site. That was a major headache for them. Now, I don't know the financial repercussions there, but I just know in terms of caseload, they just lost so much data, had to go back and redo work, and they couldn't bill per hour for the clients anymore because it was their mistake. It was what they had missed out on. So makes sense, the scenario you're kind of laying up there. Let's do this. As we look to wrap up here, always like to try and give our listeners a tip, takeaway or two, really where they can start getting moving forward. And so the idea here is when someone's looking to design a data protection strategy, what do you see as the top one or two things that they really need to start on helps build that good foundation?
Well, the first thing is to put the plan in place. You want to make sure that you've got the plan in place and hopefully documented so that you can say, hey, guys, here's our plan, and then you've got something to work off of. The next most important thing is to practice the backup plan. Now, when we say practice, and when I refer to this, I don't mean try to fail over between your primary and your remote sites, if that's what you have. But a lot of times, you can take the data that has been replicated to the remote site, for example, and you can practice the operation of how do I get that data and present it back up to a server so that the user community would have access to it. You really don't want to be practicing that or trying that the first time when you're in the face of a disaster of some kind or another. Because when those happen, there's other stresses and people watching. You want to make sure you know how that works. This also gives you that confidence level that says, I have my system set up correctly. That's probably the biggest mistake that we all make, is the fact that we don't ever practice what we've put in place.
And that's why I've heard from others. You don't have a backup plan if you haven't tested it.
and that's true. Yes, yeah. You really don't. You've got to test it to make sure that it's valid. And when you've got a snapshot and replication technology in place, it is extremely easy to test that. I mean, compared to a tape operation where you're trying to back it up and it takes hours to test, you can test this operation, you know, over lunch to see how it's working.
And really quick, Mike, SMBs versus large enterprises, you seen adoption one more than the other?
You know, large enterprises will typically adopt this type of stuff more rapidly because they've got more legal restrictions and concerns. But SMBs, it's absolutely critical. And in my opinion, it's actually more critical for an SMB because they don't have the resources, if something should happen, to recover. If you look at a lot of the statistics, I think the last statistics I saw was about 70% of SMBs who had some sort of a disaster actually closed their doors within months after the disaster happening. That does not happen for large enterprises because they have those resources. So it's critical for an SMB to understand this and have some sort of a plan in place.
Yeah, and I've seen and heard the same thing. I've talked to analysts that have laid out the same thing. Anywhere between 60 and 70% of orgs close their doors within something like 8 to 18 months after something like that if they can't, you know, recover.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Hey, Mike, again, appreciate the conversation. Lots of good stuff for our audience to think about here, and appreciate the time.
All right. Hey, James, it's been a pleasure. Look forward to talking to you next time.
And of course, thank you to our listeners for joining us. If you are looking for a robust data protection solution, you can turn to the storage experts at the PC Connection family of companies. They can help you leverage storage innovations from Dot Hill Systems to meet the needs of your business. To learn more about the Dot Hill solutions available from PC Connection, contact your account manager. You can also go online to pcconnection.com/Dot Hill. Again, give your account manager a call to learn more about engaging the support of PC Connection's on staff experts when planning your next IT project. Their team of experts can help you with the assessment, the planning, design, and the implementation of your data protection projects. Learn more at pcconnection.com or call 1-800-800-0014. I'm James Hilliard, and that wraps up this installment of Connection Point.